Genesis 16, in this story, we find the birth of Ishmael, and we get Abraham and Sarah are involved in this story. But we're going to start in verse number 6. So Genesis 16, verse number 6, it says this, "But Abraham said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand, do with her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Beer Shalai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram." And let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the evening tonight. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to stand here behind the pulpit. Lord, we do miss our pastor. We ask that you bless him where he's preaching tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord. I know that this is a message that you've given me more than just a thought, but Lord, Lord, something I can come back and visit. Lord, places in the Bible that I can jump out at me now because of what you showed me. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, just the study tonight, the look at the Word of God tonight would help us to look at your Word fresher each and every time we read it. And Lord, that there would be one in here. If they're not saved, that Lord, they would know what it is to drink of living water tonight, and they would trust you as Savior. And Lord, that us as Christians would make sure that we are walking daily with you, Lord, that we have good fellowship with you. I pray that we'd go home encouraged and strengthened in this matter of, Lord, walking with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Now I'm going to get this on. And while we're getting this on, I figured I preach up here enough that it's time to, break the ice a little bit since you haven't heard me a lot and all that kind of stuff. So I've got some jokes for you because I like to do that. We are talking about wells tonight. In that passage of scripture, we heard that there was a fountain and a well. So I brought some well. You go to the great source of knowledge, the internet, and you find many jokes, some of which are too corny to be given any time but once. And I've never read most of these. So here we go. I'd tell you a joke about water wells, but I'm running dry. Oh, man, that was bad. All right, here we go. What did the well driller sing to the customers when he couldn't find water for them? Noel, Noel, Noel. All right. I had a small water bucket, but the other day it just wasn't feeling all that well. Well, in fact, it was a little pale. All right, we're getting better. All right. You know what? You know why they call it well water, right? Because nobody wants bad water. They want well water. All right. If a hole isn't full of water, then it's not feeling well. All right. My friend couldn't afford his water bill last month, so I sent him a get well soon card. All right. All right. My friends keep saying, cheer up, man. It could be worse. You could be stuck underground in a hole of water. I know he means well. All right. I don't even have a good one after that. That's it. That's it. Well, let's get started. That's about all I have here for you tonight. We're talking about that goes about as well as it does. At least in school, they laugh at me, all right? All right? I don't know if they're laughing because of the joke or if they're laughing at me, but either way, they get a good laugh over there at school. And there's probably a reason I don't tell that many jokes at school, all right? And that's probably it. So let's go ahead and open back up to Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis for a while. Is this on? Is this on, brother? I don't know if I got it in the right. All right, there we go. Did all that work to get it on, so we might as well do it. Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. I did a study on wells, if you can't tell. All right, and how many of you have a well at your house? You drink out of a well water at your house? All right, how many of you drink city water? Good deal. How many drink bottled water? Bottled water is, this is what the kids learned in chapel the other week. Bottled water is the biggest rip-off is what they learned. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm going to drink some right now. okay? Because we don't have a well inside. We have water fountains and all that other stuff. But it's amazing. It's amazing how many times in the Bible we find the word water or well. And actually, I did a little dive into this, and let me just give you a couple things, and we'll kind of get this stuff out of the way. Oh, now they're going to... Listen. So now every time I say well or a dive into it, yeah, you're going to laugh. The incidental puns, the ones I don't mean, those are the funniest, right? Oh, my. This could be a long sermon, all right? This could be. Here's a few things I want you to know about this these words before we get into this, okay? If you go to the New Testament, the Old Testament, and you try to type in the word well, if you're looking through a computer search or if you're using eSword or something on your phone to look through the Bible, and if you type in the word well, you're going to get a lot of results because, you know, well done and all the words of well that we use in the English language, there's quite a few of them. So the only way to narrow it down quickly, there's two ways you can do that. One, you can type in or search for a phrase, the well of, all right? And most of the time, if it's in the Bible and it's a well that people drew from, it was mostly named after a person, right? So the well of David, the well of Bethlehem, the well of Jacob, whatever, whoever's well it was might have been the guy who dug it. It might have been the city where it was located at. So that's one way you can search for it. Another way is to look up the Hebrew words, which I tend to try to stay away from, all right, if you're not careful, because you can go down there for a long time. But I found something really neat when you look up these Hebrew words for the word well. And I'm sorry, but Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are probably going to roll over in their grave at the way I say these words, but I'm going to give it my best shot, all right? In the New Testament is the fewest mentions of a well. If you look for a well in the New Testament, you won't find a lot of mentions of a real physical well or even a fountain, okay, in the New Testament. And they use the Greek word pege or pegi or something like that. And then in the Old Testament, there's a lot of significance put on the thing of this matter of wells. They're very important. If you study history, that makes a lot of sense to you because without water, people can't live. All right. Whoever controlled the well controlled the whole area. That's why these things were so important, especially in the Old Testament and in the Bible times. And if you think about it, you've got all these stories. That's why we're in Genesis. But Abraham and all the Israelites for the longest time, they're somewhat nomadic, and they've got to go where there's water. And that's why when they couldn't find water, of course, God provides them water from the rock. And that's also why they were complaining so much, all right? And they probably did have a little bit of a reason to say, oh no, we're going to die. We don't have water. But of course, God provided in those situations. But in the Bible, we find this word be'er. Be'er is how you say that. Almost like it looks like the word B-E-E-R in your Bible, like Beersheba. You've heard of that one before. And David went up to Beersheba. That means the beer part, that be'er, means well. It's a synonymous with the word well. And there is a lot of references in the Bible, in the Old Testament, to the word well. I'll give you some of them. There's Bera, that's a place. Beralim, well of heroes. Bir Laharoi, which we read about tonight, the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Beersheba is a well of an oath. Biri is a person who means fountain. That's what his name means. Bera is a person. He's a man's son. Beeroth is a place, and the Beerothites are people who live in that place. And so are you seeing how this works? This is just it's not just a word that happens on accident. This is a very important word, so important that people are naming their kids, their towns, their cities after this matter of, hey, right there is a source of water here. And there's also another one, and this one's kind of interesting. In this story, go back to Genesis 16, We find this word, and it's not the same word, Bera. This was not a well that was dug by people. There's another word in the Hebrew. It's ahin, and it literally means like the word, if you notice, eye. Your eye would be ahin, and that's where they get that word. The eye, the reason they called it an eye, and I figured, I was thinking about these things in my mind's eye, all right? And I picture a geyser or a fountain. You think of Old Faithful, right, here in the United States. Did anybody dig that? No. It's just God created it. And it's there, and it's it shoots, I don't remember how high that thing shoots, but it's pretty high, and it's pretty regular. So regular that they can take tours, and you can go see. How many of you have seen Old Faithful? Anybody seen that? That sounds, I would love to go out and see that. But even where we are in our area, we have things that aren't wells. We have springs, right? A spring of living water. Those are super important as well. Because, you know what? Mankind didn't usually create those. Now, I know that we have ways of, doing some of that now. But back in those days, if you found a spring, it was just as significant as a well, right? And it was very important. And this word is what Hagar ends up going by. And it's literally called it a eye into the earth, or a crying eye is kind of the Hebrew idea between that word, which makes sense because when we cry, of course, water comes out. And that's kind of what they would their word means for that word for fountain. So in your in our Bible, when we look at it, all of it's the inspired word of God. All of it has good meaning. And so whenever we get into the Hebrew and Greek, don't get that confused, okay? I'm not saying that the English word is wrong. But you know what? Sometimes we use the word well, and it could mean any of those things, all right? It depends on what word they use in the Hebrew. And guess what? When the translators did that, they picked the right word. Amen. And so I'm not arguing that anybody picked the wrong word or right word. I'm glad I didn't have that job. Amen. And when you go into those studies and you look at that, I'm glad that that wasn't my job. All right. I really am. I mean, I'm thankful for the men who had that done for us. But here in the story of Hagar, we find kind of a sad story, right? And we find Hagar and she's kicked out. She comes to a fountain. The Bible says it's a fountain. And then later we see the word well. So we can see in the Bible, God has a lot of things to say about fountains of water and wells of water, and they're very important. These are important because they provide life for everybody in the Bible. Why do you think God uses water to signify the Holy Spirit? Because it provides life. He provides life, new life, all right? Why do you think Jesus is called later the living water, right? And so we already know as Christians nowadays, we ought to know the importance of water, but I don't know if we always appreciate it, do we? Because what we were just thinking about, what we were just kind of joking about with the bottled water thing is none of us really have had to go through as much work as most of these people did just to have drinking water. And so listen, as Americans, as folks nowadays, we ought to be thankful. And I think that's a very physical thing, right? And we're going to talk about some physical places and some physical events. We're going to be in Genesis most of the time, but we are going to go to two other places in the Bible. There's really five little stories I want to look at real quick in the Bible that happen by a well. And they happen in near a body of water and the well. At the well happens some very important things happen there. And I think you know what happens in John chapter 4. We have the woman at the well. Boy, that's an important event. And we're going to get there. But throughout the Bible, life-changing things happen at these wells of water. I mean, life-altering things for people, God-honoring things happen at these wells. Important events happen. And we're going to go through and look at it. I think we also need to, just so your mind is thinking in the right way here, I want us to look at the temporal and physical, but I want you to think of the spiritual of now. Where are the wells of water now? Spiritually, the church is a well in a very dry and empty land, isn't it? And there ought to be a lot of spiritual wells where people can come and drink from the living water. Anywhere where God's word, listen, that's the thing too. We're almost water boys, all right? You know, a guy out there in the field or on the battlefield or in the football game, he needs some water. And that's anywhere where God's word is a well. It's a wellspring of water, of spiritual water. And we ought to be kind of like that. All right. When someone is needing and hurting, sometimes they can't make it to the well and we bus them in with a bus. But sometimes we've got to go out and find where they're at and bring them some spiritual water. And so I want you to be thinking in that because that's the application that we're getting to. But I think it'll open your mind a little bit, your eyes a little bit when we go to these stories and see just how important these things were to God, honestly, and to us as Christians nowadays. I also want you to know that the term, this is an interesting side note for the before we get into it, but that term Beer, like Beersheba or Beer, whatever else you wanted to say, Beraloth, okay, meaning well, it also can come together with some other adjectives to change the word entirely. And when the other adjectives or other suffixes and prefixes are used in Hebrew, the weird word doesn't come out as Beer. All right. It's still there. It just changes the way it's said. And I don't have the Hebrew word, but basically I looked up this word in the Bible and I started getting the word pit. All right. The word pit, meaning a dug well or a hole full of water. But in the Bible, there's some pits you don't want to drink from. All right. The slime pits is one of them I came across. And I thought, what in the world is that doing in a study of water wells? Well, I started finding out that there are some wells that are ruined. And they are swamps, slime pits, gross. And it just dawned on me that, you know what? The devil has wells too. So there's the spiritual wells of water and significant in the Bible. And then there's the carnal and the worldly, honestly, the no good wells of water. And if you look that word up, it really does mean that. Slime pits is the word that is used. And that slime part in Hebrew is what changes the way the word is set. So let's find out what happens at these wells. Let's look at Genesis 16. Number one, I want you to know this. God sees the suffering at the well. God sees the suffering at the well. He sees the sorrowful at the well. Let's go back to that story. We already read it, but let's keep going. Genesis 21. So we saw Hagar, and she has the promise now of a son. God sends her back. We see a couple of chapters where Abram, he gets the promise of God. Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. And then in chapter 21, let's go back there. All of a sudden, Isaac is born. And when Isaac is born, Sarai, who is now Sarah, her attitude hasn't changed a lot towards Hagar. And honestly, it's a very bad situation for them. So look at verse number 9 in Genesis 21. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking, whereof she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. That's not the correct attitude she should have had. All right? She helped cause some of this situation. I understand God's will and all of that, but even in God's will, there's a better way to handle it. All right? She did not handle this situation right either time. And the thing was very grievous in Abram's sight because of his son. So he is grieved because of this. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for an Isaac shall be thy seed be called. So he does reassure Abram, says, you know what, Abram, this is part of my will. I understand that. Okay, so he lets her go. And let's go look at verse 14. Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water. So a bottle of water is helpful. Amen. And gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered into the wilderness of Beersheba. So there's that word again, meaning well. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him in a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. That's a sad and broken lady right there. Hey, listen, folks, we have sad and broken people come in our church every single Sunday. And sometimes we don't know if what they just did was they left something. And maybe even the only reason they're coming here is to get a bow shot of whey from a very bad situation. We don't know that. When you put those kids on the bus, they might just be coming a bow shot away, or so to speak, from a very bad situation at home. And listen, we've got to realize that. You know what? I know what nation. Do you understand what nation comes from this? This is the Muslim nation coming from this lady. And we could get up in arms and we could complain about that. We can get mad about that. But God made a promise to Abraham and his seed would be blessed. And guess what? Even in the mistake and the problem that they caused, he still carried out his promise. And you don't think that in all of this, I understand the Jews and I understand the Muslims aren't the Jews and I understand all that. But God died for all of them. Jesus died for all of them. And he sent his son for all of them. And so sometimes we can get focused on maybe the wrong thing. And I understand they're a hard group of people to win. But we do need to pray for them. We do need to send missionaries to them. I'm thankful for the missionaries to the Middle East. All right? And look at what God says. And this is the same spirit we ought to have towards people that come to church broken and brokenhearted and sorrowful. And God heard the voice of the lad and the angel of God called to Hagar out of the heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Boy, I love that. And if it doesn't make you think of our little kids that we bring on the bus, then I think we need to pray for them. Sometimes mom and dad might be spiritually bankrupt, but that kid, he's crying out, and God hears that. God knows. In verse 18, arise, lift up the lad, and take hold of him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. And this is the place, if you skip down, we're going to find out that the same wilderness of Beersheba Look down at verse 25. And Abram reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. You see, Brother Young, what's the point of this? Well, listen, the point is we ought to make this place here, the church, a well that we try to bring people to. Hey, you ought to make your home a well that people can come to. You ought to make your testimony a well that people can stop by and visit. It ought to be very evident. You see, this lady, she couldn't find the well. God opened her eyes and she saw it. And I'm so glad that God opens our eyes sometimes when we are hurting or in pain, because this is not just a lost person application. There's a spiritual, a saved person application here in the fact that, listen, whether they're lost or whether you're saved, if you come here and you're sorrowful and hurting, God can see that. And He knows that. And if you'll ask Him like she did, she called out to Him again. And you know what? He heard that little baby's cry. He heard that little baby's cry. And He came down and He saved both mom and child. And He took care of the problem. Hey, listen, you know what? We ought to offer living water to people who are hurting and suffering in the world today. Hey, what is your home? Is it an oasis in the world? What about our testimony? Are we doing something with the water that we've been given? Number one, God sees the sorrowful and the suffering. Okay, let's keep going in Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis 24. Go ahead and turn there. Genesis 24. Number two, at the well, matches are made and work happens. I like this story. Matches are made and work happens at the well. Genesis 24 is an awesome story, the story of Isaac and Rebecca. And of course, Abraham, he needs a bride for his son. And so he sends his servant out and he says, I want you to find, listen, he doesn't send him to the world. He sends him to the land where he knew godly young ladies and God, people of their family, people it was okay to marry, would have lived. And so this servant goes, and let's look at verse 12, Genesis 24, 12. Here's what the servant says. All right, he's standing there and he's kind of probably stressed about the situation. He's very nervous. This is an important task given to him. And he also has a good relationship with God, because look what he says. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And so he prays that prayer, and in verse 15, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water out of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Help me, which verse? 19. And when she had gone giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, if the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, 2 bracelets, 10 shekels of gold, and he gives it to her, okay? And this is an amazing story. At the well. So what happens at a well? Well, one, we bring suffering people to wells of water. There's suffering people at wells of water in the Bible. They're thirsty, they're hungry, they need some help. But also, there's some hardworking people at the well. All right? It was hard to dig that well. Somebody had to dig it. All right? It was hard to maintain that. Somebody had to protect it. You don't think that these girls went out to the well all by themselves with nobody watching over this thing, do you? No. The men who built that well and protected it would have had that whole place. Maybe they were working in the fields around it. There's no way they would have had their daughters and wives go out to a well that they didn't watch over. All right? So there was plenty of work involved in every well in the Bible. And every time we read that, I think sometimes we kind of gloss over that. But these are a big deal to these folks. And here's this man, a foreigner, and somehow God allows him to be there. Waiting for these ladies, and he prays, And then all of a sudden, this gal comes out. And by the way, the hard work doesn't just stop with all of the digging of the well and all that. We find out this lady worked hard. This young lady, this is not an easy task. She already, one, had a servant's heart, which is amazing. And she said, oh, sure, I'll give you something to drink. Here. And she gives him the water bottle, gives it to drink. But then, you know, just think about it. I mean, God worked in this situation, and I know God impressed upon her heart. But there still had to be a willingness somewhere, didn't there? All right. Sometimes I think we just read the Bible stories and think, well, God may waved something and she automatically just did that. No. There could have been somebody else, but you know what? This gal was in God's will doing what God wanted to do. And she obviously already had a good relationship with the Lord. And this thing happened because, you know what? It was meant to be. All right? It was meant to be. Matches were made, okay? That's what he was there for. He was the man to look for a wife for his master. And there, I know there's a great spiritual significance to this, but let's go with the practical significance too. All right? You know what? This young lady worked hard, and then that man knew right away. And the thing he asked God wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. He said, Lord, will you prove that this young lady is the right one? Hey, listen, young men, you know what you need to do? When you go about your work in life, and when you get to maybe a college or maybe a church or the age where you're looking around and you're hoping that somebody will be dumb enough or blind enough to marry you, okay? All right? But you know what? Listen, don't just say, oh, well, whatever the nicest girl that comes along, I'm going to marry her. That's not how it works. All right? I think you know better. I think you've got enough training and enough books and enough messages from this church especially and our pastor on how to find the right one. All right? But right here, we find that there was kind of a test, an evaluation here, and she passed it with flying colors. She worked very hard, young ladies, and feeding the camels, you know, watering the camels. It did say she hasted and she ran and she hasted and ran and dumped it in the trough and until all of those camels were done. And he wouldn't have had one camel, okay? This was a guy from a rich man's home. He had more than one camel. He probably had an entourage of camels and gifts that he was having. And other servants. So I find this lady, there's a reason it says, and the man wondering at her. That basically means he goes like this. He probably watched her. I mean, he's sitting there going, is this really happening? There's a girl who's not only going to, she already gave me something to drink, I'm good. And he's sitting there watching her, you know? And listen, that kind of goes, us guys, I mean, hopefully you don't walk up and watch a young lady do all that, all right? Without helping her, especially in our culture nowadays, okay? I mean, listen, don't listen. Hey, girls, if there's ever a guy who watches you just do a bunch of work like that and then goes, I'm just doing what the Bible said and testing out, see whether you're the right one. All right, don't take him, you know, don't even, you can drop him, all right? Because nowadays, of course, that can't be the test, all right, guys? I'm sorry. If you're thinking, all right, let's see, the next woman who can come weed whack my property and mow it, I'll marry her. All right, that goes against a lot of work ethic things there, okay? Be a gentleman and don't make her do all that work. But in this story, it made sense, okay? I'm not going to argue with him. But hey, listen, here's what I want to get to you, okay? You should always look for God's life mate at the right kind of well. At the right kind of well. At the well, first of all, what is the well? The well's wherever God's word is. Where God's word is, that's a good place to be looking for the right one. Girls, that's a good place. Hey, listen, I found my wife at Bible college. That's a great place to look for the right one. Hey, listen, church, that's a great place to find the right one. All right, right, Brother Nathan? All right? Hey, listen, growing up in the same church, that's a good place to find the right one. Growing up in a different... Hey, listen, does she go to church? Does he go to church? Does he drink from the water every day? Does she drink from the water every day? Hey, what kind of person is he or she? Hey, listen, matches are made at the well. That is a life-altering decision that if you're hanging out, listen, you're hanging out to the well that everybody else hangs out on Friday night, you're not finding the right one. There's a lot of drinking that goes on, but it's not water, it's alcohol, and it's at a different kind of well. And the Bible has a lot, we didn't even get to it, but there's a lot to say in the Bible about fountains and wells that are corrupt. Go to Proverbs, read the whole thing. All right? Corrupt fountains, poisoned, not good, no fun. Hey, listen, they're all out there waiting for you, but you know what? You need to find the mate for your life here at a well that is acceptable. You don't have to find it here. We're not a cult. You don't have to, you know, have to marry somebody who is goes to this church. That's not how that works. Hey, listen, just walk with the Lord and he'll lead you to the right place where you'll find the right one for you. All right. Remember, hey, remember those slime pits? I don't want to hang out there and find my life's mate there. All right. I wouldn't want to find my friends there or anything else. Okay. So number one, God sees the suffering. Number two, matches are made. Number three and four, work happens at the well. Number four, here we go. Genesis 26. We're almost done. Genesis 26. I love the story of Genesis. Most of the wells happen in this story, in this book of the Bible. But in this story, we see Isaac, right? Abraham, of course, he is a digger of wells. And then we see Isaac, of course, he gets married to Rebecca. They have a good life. They're in God's will. They're doing what's right. And if you go to Genesis 26, verse 13, here's what it says. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. So we find a change. This happens in Isaac's life. All right. He is with Abimelech. They had that Beersheba and all that oath thing. All right. That all happens over there. Isaac is kind of blessed by living where he was. And you got to understand that these guys had such a big abundance and stuff that a lot of times they came into a lot of conflict with the people around them. Abraham did, obviously, if you go study his story. Isaac now is ready also to move on. All right. His house has grown. He's married. He's ready to go. He's ready to do God's will. Let's see what happens. Verse 17. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father called them. That is an important verse in the Bible. He, the son, carried on the godly tradition of his father. And not only that, he regained some ground that the enemy had taken when his father died. And here, he doesn't just gain the ground and do his own thing. He goes back and he names them just like his dad named them. He keeps the names they had. He keeps the spot where they are. He looked around and said, no, my dad worked too hard for this. I'm going to go back and I'm going to take back those wells and I'm going to get them going again. And I'm going to name them just like he did. And it's kind of funny because they do dig some new wells, but it takes a lot of work to do these wells. And I'll tell you what they mean. All right. Look at verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. So that's good. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water's ours. And he called the name of the well Esek. Well, Esek, if you look at the Bible, means contention. All right. And then if you look on down there, they digged another well and he calls it Sitna. That means hatred. All right. And he removed and he digs another one called Rehoboth. That means room. He even says that right there. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from hence to Beersheba. And so are you noticing what's going on here? Isaac is not just sitting around on his hands, all right, being blessed by what daddy gave him and all the stuff he has. He's out there undoing the stuff the enemy took from him. And he's also digging some new wells, all right? He's digging new spots that down the road, his kid can come back and say, my dad dug that, not grandpa, all right? Not grandpa. Hey, listen, you know what? A fault of me and my generation, if we're not careful, is we go around and we should go around and anywhere where dad hasn't been in a while, we ought to make sure that well's protected and kept safe. That cornerstone of our family. But we're talking spiritually here. How about that doctrine, that thing, that the work that dad started ought to keep going, right? And if it stopped, we ought to get it going again, if it's a right thing to do. But also, how many new wells are we digging? What not newfangled idea, but I mean spiritually, am I just living off of dad's wells or am I digging my own wells? Because young men, you got to decide that. I have to decide that. Men, we have to decide that. You can't just live off of those wells. You know, the thing about wells is a lot of them went dry eventually. And you know what? If you're not digging new ones, all your wells are going to go dry. And I know that we're talking spiritually here, and we have the living water and it never goes dry, but let's think about the work that goes into a church. I mean, in 2 years, we have a 50th anniversary of the church. And you know what? Our pastor's dad started this church, and he's been keeping those wells going, and he's been starting new ones. And you know what? God forbid that in 20 years, if we're all still here, and our pastor goes on to heaven and there's somebody else, and God forbid that all we would do is maintain the wells he dug and maybe stop up the ones that are kind of hard to do and the ones that are too far out. And all of a sudden, listen, that's the death of most churches, because it slowly people just say, well, that ministry's hard to do, and that thing's just too, then the bus ministry, hey, listen, there's always some wells, the ones that are hardest go first, all right? And they're usually the ones the devil wants to get. And so as young men and families and moms and dads and wives, and you know what? We ought to be working real hard. How about in just your own home? All right? How about in just your own home? What is it that mom and dad taught you to do that was right that you've stopped doing? You let it be stopped up. All right? You let it kind of just, it's not a big deal anymore. We dropped the ball on that. It's too late. Hey, go back and get those things going again. All right? And then what about new things? Hey, just because mom and dad taught you all this stuff, you know, one of the things they tried to do was raise you and say, hey, we kind of messed up in this area. Why don't you do better? All parents want their kids to do better than they did. And it's not enough just to do that. It's more important that you would just defend the faith, but also, you know what, ingrain your faith as well in the Word. We need to be digging up wells every day in this Word. All right, guys, you know what you got to do? You got to go in there. You can't just say, well, Brother Young taught about it in Bible class, and Brother Chad teaches about it. I know everything that I need to know. You don't know everything you need to know from the Bible. You got to go in there and you got to start finding a well of your own in here. And I think God awards you with that. There's things in the Bible that you need to find for you. All right. One of the reasons that I like that e-sword and Bible study thing or whatever is, you know what? Those are tools, but they're digging tools. All right. Helps me dig out and find stuff I was just listening to the Bible the other day. And something came up about the crucifixion story. And I'm reading it and I'm thinking, I never saw that before. All right? And you know what that is? That's a little wellspring in the Bible. And it's amazing when you find those. But listen, if you're not reading your Bible, then you're not finding any new wells. All right? Hey, listen, here's the point, though. I forgot to give you that. The enemy wants control of your wells. The enemy wants control. And he did. He took over it. Let's just finish the rest of that chapter. Look at the end. Chapter 26, just look at the end. So he digs all these new wells. We know who comes after Isaac, right? Esau and Jacob, okay? But look what happens, and I thought this was interesting. Verse 32, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and he said, we have found water. And he called it Sheba, therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. And Esau, so here's his son mentioned, was 40 years old when he took to the wife Judith, the daughter of, what's that guy's name? Beeri. You know what the B-E-E-R word means? Well. This is a guy who had a well, and he had a daughter, but it wasn't an Abraham's well. It wasn't one of the wells of his dad. You see, this girl was from the Hittites, right? Beeri the Hittite, and Beshmath the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Remember the last point? Matches are made at the well. Well, while Isaac's out digging new wells and doing right things, his son is hanging out at the enemy wells. Where do you think he met these two ladies? Not where dad's fields were, not by dad's wells. He went and he married a daughter of a guy whose literal, his name means wellspringing, all right? And he was probably digging his own wells. So don't be hanging out at, that's so important. Don't be hanging out at the enemy's wells, all right? There's so many more in the Bible, but we're just going to visit the last one. I just want to go there because it's so good. We can't go. John 4. Let's go to John chapter 4. If you go through Proverbs, there's plenty of verses about the wellspring and the well of knowledge and the well of life. And David has some stories. I wrote one down. Sacrifices were made at the well. You remember that story where David just said, I wish I could have a drink. And the men went and they fought through Philistines just to get him a drink of water from a certain well. And we ought to be willing to sacrifice for our pastor, for our Lord, for our leaders, just like those men did. But we're not going to dwell on that tonight. One more thing. John chapter 4. I better get there. This is the best one. I love it. John chapter 4, verse 3. Let's read it. He left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Now, didn't we just talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? That's awesome. All right. Way down the road, here's Jacob's well that he dug way back when, did what was right, served the Lord, and now Jesus is standing there. Okay. Being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. All right. For his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And that's awesome. And she talks about how deep the well is and how, you know, how can that be? And look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Brother Young, why are there so few wells mentioned in the New Testament? Because we got the living water. All right? We do. That's awesome. I don't need to go to a well anymore and dig out water. I got living water. Hey, listen, religion offers, they offer a lot of satisfaction temporarily in the form of maybe a well of water. But you got to keep coming back to religion. Sin offers satisfaction too. They have false wells out there everywhere, but they're just that. They're wells. They're not springs of living water. And you got to keep coming back if you want satisfaction. Just like this woman said, I would love to get that so I wouldn't have to come back out here and I could just drink forever and would never have to. You know what she was thinking about? Temporal things. And you know what? Religion and the acts of being in a religion, that provides you with temporary satisfaction. And you know what? Sin does the same thing. It provides temporary satisfaction. But you know what? Jesus offers a wellspring of living water, and I just can't help it. I want to keep coming back. All right? And if you're in a religion, you have to. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you ought to want to. And listen, if you don't want to, you need to start digging a little bit deeper and in the Word, in the water. And you know what? You need to get a hold of that and get that want to back again. Hey, listen, important things happen in our lives at the spiritual wells that we can find. Here at church, we can find hard work. We can find our mate. We can see sorrowful people. We can keep the enemy away. We can sacrifice for things, but you know what? Listen, salvation is found here at the well. If you don't know for sure you're saved, you need to be tonight. And if you do know somebody, listen, we need to go carry some of this living water out with us this week. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Lord, we thank you so much for the time we had tonight. Thank you so much for the promises of your word. Lord, these stories of these men in the Old Testament who just simply put their hand to the plow and they went forward and did your will, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And out of that, we got the Jewish nation, and Lord, your people. And then, Lord, out of that, we suddenly find ourselves thousands of years later hearing those words, living water. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the day that I found the living water. And Lord, I do pray that we would carry some of that with us this week into the world, that we would, Lord, have compassion on the suffering. Lord, find those people who are hurting. And Lord, that we'd make sure that we're going by the right wells, that we're defending our faith, Lord, that we're standing up for what's right. And please give us the strength to do that this week. In Jesus' name.